Today, we are joined by our old friend Evan and our new friend, Matthew Charles from Geek Stew. We put all our pigs on the table and ask, what's the difference between a JRPG and a WRPG? All that and more on this week's episode of Trust Circle. Hello, and welcome to episode 28 of Trust Circle. We are Top Shelf Gaming's number one and only podcast where every week some amount of human beings talk about video games. And this week we are joined by four. And by we, I mean me and Marcus. Valerie is not here, but she is here. Valerie, say hi.
Hi.
She's over there. We've exiled her. Because we are joined by two guests. Not just one, but two. One is returning. Hi, returning guest. Evan Meyer-Zucchino.
Hello.
Mayor of Zucchini.
Yes.
And our newest guest and non-TSG affiliated member, Matthew Charles.
Hello, hello.
The boys are back in town!
And that would be Top Shelf Gaming founder, co-founder, stutter, editor-in-chief, and crazy person, Marcus Garrett.
Hey there, ladies and spaghettis. This is going to be a great show.
Yes, I am Devin Valdivia, and, well, here we go. We are in a very cramped space. We have moved the recording location over because Valerie stole our workspace. She has real jobs to do to make real money because that's what she does.
This show definitely doesn't make money, so I mean, someone's got to.
Hey, welcome to the club.
Yeah, so I mean, jumping off that, Matt, you also have a podcast too.
Yes.
Yeah. Who the heck are you?
I am the host, founder, formerly the editor of Geek Stew. We are a roundtable podcast on whatever geeky subject we decide to cover that week. So anything from Pokemon, robotics, we just finished our anime extravaganza, so we're all over the board.
And where can we find you?
You can find us at deliciousgeekstew.com, or you can also find us on iTunes or Google Play under Geek Stew.
I like it.
The best stew.
Yeah.
You made like a chicken stew tonight.
I did, yeah, yeah. So I tried out this new recipe. I'm always cooking something every week. I tried something brand new, and it was this like cheesy chicken rice recipe with lots of fresh vegetables.
It was missing one vegetable.
Mushrooms.
The mushroom.
Yeah.
The beautiful, beautiful mushroom.
More mushrooms, less cheese.
Mushrooms are horrible. Cheese is great, Matt. You are literally the opposite of me.
My heart.
Evan, where do you stand on the mushroom debate? Pro or con?
I'm not really pro either of those things, actually. Ooh.
You don't like cheese?
I like cheese if it's like on pizza. Melted cheese. But I'm not
this
a big
is melted
okay.
cheese. You would like very my melted. Food.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Confident.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay. I'm not
I like mushroom sauces, like with pasta
like
or like
risotto
chicken
or
something.
Like,
yeah, but I'm not a big fan of like eating just straight mushrooms.
I would just dunk some mushrooms in some like fondue cheese right
no!
now and just snack on them.
Don't do that.
That would literally make me vomit. Just like not even joking, not even exaggerating. I would vomit. I posted something on Valerie's wall that like, caused a lot of controversy.
You started a fire,
didn't I? I did. I made like a lot of people argue. I posted this video, and it has like split screen of like on one side was said like how you cook mushrooms, and it showed someone you know dicing mushrooms, and then it showed how I cook mushrooms, and it showing someone getting a bunch of mushrooms and just throwing them right into the
garbage.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is a bunch of people were wrong.
Yes.
Yes, and those were the people who were cutting mushrooms for the purposes of consumption.
I very much disagree.
That started a flame war?
Wow. Against our old professor.
The internet.
Yeah, yeah.
The internet.
But see, here's the thing. So he has no ground to stand on because he likes mushrooms, which I was proud of him for, but he doesn't like sweet potatoes, he doesn't like raisins, and he doesn't like pumpkin.
Okay. Raisins and pumpkin, I could totally live with.
Raisins I can understand. I love raisins, though.
Yeah.
But I understand.
Yeah.
I get it. But sweet potato and pumpkin are the best orange things on the planet.
How many good orange things are on the planet?
The only other thing is carrots and Cheetos, so...
Oh.
Cheetos are pretty good.
Cheetos are pretty good.
They're okay.
But the red kind of Cheetos are the better
crush. I prefer
red Cheetos are legit.
Yeah. I can't see that. That's one of the few things I don't like.
Hot Cheetos, and recently I've started liking lime hot Cheetos.
That's a thing.
Yeah. Oh, it's good. It's got a little bit of sweetness.
I came here tonight to have a good time, and my favorite foods are just getting attacked right now.
I just feel so attacked.
Well, Matthew, our newest guest. Matthew or Matt, what do you like?
I tend to go by Matthew.
I'm going to call you Matholomew.
Matholomew?
Please don't.
Yeah. I will. Thank you. Thank you for asking.
Brother-in-law's name is Matthew, and when he was in high school, he went by Matt a lot, but his mom calls him Matthew. Now he's part of the family. We all just call him Matthew now. It's kind of this weird thing. How has your week been? How has the last week been for you, gaming or otherwise?
Busy, busy, busy. I've been having to get up early, driving all over the place.
Thanks for driving here.
Yeah, I had to take the early shift. Usually I work the night shift for my job, but Marcus was like, oh no, the only time we can do our podcast is between this and this. And I'm like, well, all right, and I white-knuckled it all the way down from L.A., so it's quite the journey.
I know that pain. I've done that drive.
Yes, it's a rough drive.
Yeah.
But otherwise, been pretty good. Can't go into too many details, but have an interesting opportunity coming up involving a company that makes a certain card game. That's all I can say for now.
Hmm.
But other than that, just been pretty average week. Oh, game-wise, I am looking forward to getting Nier Automata tomorrow.
Cool.
Is it releasing tomorrow?
Yes. My pre-order copy comes tomorrow, so.
Nice.
I've actually heard great things, so I hope you have a lot of fun with that.
Yep. I'm a big fan of Yoko Taro and his insanity, so I'm looking forward to getting to play it hands-on.
This month is incredible.
We have way too much going on.
Yeah, it's not even April, and they're just coming.
They keep coming out.
Mass Effect is coming out in a week.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Hey, I'm going to say this really quick. This is a show that typically aims to be a show that, you know, gamers and non-gamers alike can really dig
into. But there's one problem. Valerie's not here today.
Yeah.
You've exiled her to the corner.
Our only non-gamer, though, the one that brings this show balance is
drawing yeast. So.
Is literally drawing yeast.
Anthropomorphic yeast. How are they coming along? They coming along good?
It's great. Now I feel weird because you made it weird.
It's my job.
This is weird, but here we are. The rest of the podcast, I promise you, is going to be yeast free. But
I can't promise that.
It would be a good thing to have, a good goal at least, to have a yeast-free podcast.
You can't promise something like that.
Cut it out. Right? That was a Full House reference for all of you 90s kids.
There you go. That's back.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Fuller and Houser.
It is back. They're making a second season of the reboot.
Which is weird.
It's doing
I watched that first one and
It was okay.
It was weird.
It was okay.
Were you going somewhere with that before?
I was, but we're totally sidetracked and we're going to move on. How was your week, Evan?
My week was great. I spent a lot of it playing Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. A lot. A lot of it.
No spoilers. I'm not gonna.
I'm not going to say anything, but that game is fantastic. Marcus and I texted each other like once a day saying, this game is amazing.
Without any like context, we're just like, this game is amazing.
I heard Marcus shared the secret of the egg drop with you last night.
Yes, he did. I made use of that today.
Good.
A couple times.
Pro strats.
So that game was great. The last 2 days, I actually went to the Indian Wells tennis tournament with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
My dad is big into tennis and... So we got our family, like, grounds passes.
Oh, that's nice.
So we got to go and see some, like, pro tennis playing, which was awesome. But it was so hot. It was 99 degrees. There was no shade in the stadium. And I felt like I was literally just, like, sitting in a tub of really hot water that was, like, at least half my sweat.
Doron Springs.
Yeah. Too hot to handle?
Yeah. It was... Yeah. It was...
What's with this weather?
It's been terrible.
It's been super hot.
It's been horrible.
Not horrible. It's been really nice. It just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it did.
After, like, the rain and the frigid cold and not having a good jacket, I'm perfectly okay with the sunshine.
California's just like, hey, remember all that rain that you got?
Yeah, we're gonna dry it all up.
California time again.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Yeah, we live in the wrong county. I don't like hot weather. Not a huge fan of the beach. I love when it rains. Don't know why I'm here. What am I doing with my life? It's all been a mistake. I need to go cry now.
Dude, it's because Southern California is like the center of the universe, man.
Yeah, there's that. There's that.
There is that.
There is that.
There is what?
That.
That?
Yeah.
Matt.
Hey.
Cat. We got a new cat.
Yeah, she's like totally chilling.
Yeah, if you hear any weird raspy meows, that would be our new cat Marzipan. We got her about 3 weeks ago. She is she's a rescue cat. She's about 4 years old, and she is 5 pounds overweight.
No, she's looking really healthy now. Healthier. She's thinned out.
A little bit.
Your training regimen.
A little bit.
Valerie's training regimen. Good job, Mama Val.
It's called CrossFit for Cats.
Are you prepping her for the cat triathlon?
Nope. She's just trying to keep her alive for at least one more year.
Yeah, 1 year at a time.
Oof.
I love her too much for her to die just yet.
Well, she is a very pretty cat.
I can't quit you, Marzipan.
She can quit you, though. That's where she is all day, every day.
Yeah. Most cats don't care.
Yeah,
most cats are just
until it's feeding time.
Yeah,
then suddenly they're your best friend.
Very manipulative creatures.
Mm.
Just like my ex-wife.
I respect them, but I hate them.
How's your week been, Marcus?
My week's been interesting. So I want to talk about today specifically because today is a very special day.
I arrived.
It's Pi Day.
It's Pi Day, yes.
Close enough.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So, every day at 3:14 p.m., I send a GIF or GIF, whatever you prefer. We're all inclusive here.
But there is a right answer.
But I send her an animated image.
Wait, who's her?
Who's her?
My boss.
Okay.
My old boss, I guess. Of, like, a pie-related thing.
Every day
when I remember, or if I'm not in some...
Okay.
Yeah. But, like, every day. That's, like, our thing. I think she's annoyed by it, / she doesn't like when I don't do it because she's gotten used to it type thing. And so today she messaged me saying, like, it's Pi Day! It's Pi Day! And then she sent me a GIF, and I was like, you do care. I was very touched. And so Pi Day has been good to me. Pi-ology, mm-hmm. where there's one across the street from work. Was selling pizzas for $3 and 14 cents, and my whole team went there. We all got pizzas, but like we had to sign up for their like membership club first, and so like since the whole world was like trying to like sign up, their website wasn't working,
crashed.
And like so I photoshopped all of my team members' coupons. So I can get us all really cheap.
Someone at Pi-ology Corp is gonna listen to this and be like, "Wait a minute,
you're gonna get
a back charge."
Arrest Marcus Garrett.
Yikes.
So I made us all coupons and manufactured fake emails. With the like same subject line and like everything, and just like made us fake things.
Marcus, I've joked about doing things like yeah. that. You don't this, actually do it.
This how is the thing you I... say, like, man, I could Photoshop all kinds of stuff, but you just talk about it.
How long did that take you? About
like 3 minutes.
Man, you should be doing that. You should do that more.
Marcus is WikiLeaks.
Yeah, I am, and so we get there. And, you know, line was a little bit shorter than what I thought, but there was this man, like, maybe 6-8 people in front of us who had a parrot on his shoulder. And he was just in line.
Did he have an eye patch?
No.
Two legs.
What he did have was a crap ton of bird poop dripping down his back.
Oh, no.
Like, legitimately, this guy was just super comfortable with just this bird just pooping all over his back. And, like, you could tell that these two were, like, very, very close.
Wait, was he basically, like, Pigeon Man from Hey Arnold?
Kind of. Yeah.
Did he, like, leave the restaurant, like, soaring away with a flock of pigeons?
He didn't leave the restaurant. He, like, sat down with his pizza and put the bird on his arm and was, like, feeding it little, like, pizza bites.
Was it, like, vegetarian pizza?
I think he was, like, picking off vegetables and just, like, giving... but that's not the point. Like, one, that's both cool, weird, and disgusting. So, I said both, but that's three things. Ignore that. But, like, that's my day. That's what my day's kind of been like. I also got actual pie. And so, Pie Day has treated me very well.
Favorite pie? Go.
Apple pie. And sweet
that's
potato.
That's the answer.
Apple pie, sweet potato.
Sweet potato pie is really, really good.
Black?
Yes.
Both of us black people.
Mm-hmm. What?
In this room, get
don't,
it.
Don't you know, Devin, your podcast has gotten 100% blacker in just a single
episode. It's got twice as black.
And 100% less female.
Yeah, there are no
females. Which traded.
You lose some demographics, you gain some demographics.
We traded one minority for another. I'm not saying that I mind it, but I do miss Valerie.
I miss you too, Marcus.
Hey, Valerie.
On the subject of pie, fact, my dad makes the best apple pie ever.
How often does he make it? Once
a year. We make it like, we make 10, it's a thing. We make it before Thanksgiving. Usually the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we make like 10 pies. And then we have, like, one fresh that night, and then we save the rest and, like, freeze a couple of them, and we have a good way of reheating them in an oven. And they stay good, and so we just, like, then whenever something special happens, we bring out a pie.
That's a great idea.
It's fantastic.
How do I get myself a slice just to try it? Because this sounds awesome.
You hit me up around Thanksgiving.
All right.
And
marry into the family.
You heard it here first.
I'll get you one.
Do you have a sister?
No.
Do you have a brother?
Well, I'll have to marry you, I guess. So, that's my way in.
There's more than one way to slice a pie.
Yeah. Hey.
So, that was my day. Lots of pie.
I hear you're pretty burnt out in that Zelda game.
Oh, that Zelda game. Oh my gosh.
That phrase doesn't exist for Breath of the Wild. Burnt out.
Man, I'm loving every second of it. I'm just like... Whew.
I know it sounds so wrong, but I'm waiting for the moment where, like, there's just one, like smirch on this perfect game. Like, one thing that just
there,
is, like,
there are actually, like, vague little bits and pieces.
The thing,
talk to Jim Sterling about it.
The thing is that it's not perfect.
I did see that.
I've heard
pretty
there's...
damn... Oh, man.
I've heard there's
that's
a...
Every one of you so far.
Shrine.
Every one of you.
What?
We've all swore at this point.
Oh.
I didn't time code you. I got yours. No, I got
yours. Oh, man.
Well, okay. I've heard there's a shrine that is ridiculously frustrating. I haven't gotten to it yet. I have no idea where it is in the overworld, but I heard there's one that's like...
There was one that I just did last night that was pretty frustrating.
That's a pain.
Yeah.
But
so
I
mean,
that's a thing. The fact that you can't really climb when it's raining, so you have to wait out a storm, and sometimes it takes forever.
That's just real life, though.
It is, but it's kind of a pain. And like, if they just made it like harder to climb instead of impossible, like that would have been kind of
sure. Yeah, actually, that's actually a super fair point. Like if it was just more difficult versus just like you can't, like you have no other option than to just wait it out.
But then when you find out Link was a cat all along.
I mean, that was a cool moment.
That's a fun twist on the whole...
Dang it, I told you guys not to spoil anything.
And then it was all a dream. There is an article that says, like, five actual...
I know what you're referencing, things, and you're wrong. You're so wrong for doing that.
That aren't good in Breath of the Wild. And they're not, like, any big things, but there are, like, some weird parts. The thing that annoys me, I don't know if we're turning this into a Breath of the Wild.
I'll give you, like, two more minutes.
The thing that annoys me about Breath of the Wild is it's kind of hard to drop some weapons. You have to, like, pause, and it would be really easy to, like, use the quick select menu and just press a button mm-hmm. and drop, and I don't know why you can't do that for, like, shields and
my thing and is that when your bow breaks, you can't
the
quick
cradle.
Oh, yeah, that's annoying too.
All right, David. This is actually really good.
Pretty proud of it.
Great joke. Yeah, like, the only way to select a new bow is to pause and go into your inventory.
No, it's not. You have to hold the right trigger, the button that you would hold the bow down. If you hold it down, then you can press to the right on the D-pad. Oh. When did you turn off your HUD? When did you turn
very, very early on.
I left it on until just today, and I noticed that whenever I would click the right analog stick, the HUD would flash the arrow sign in the top left.
Oh.
So, like, you actually can do that.
I like, turned it off, like, an hour after I got out of the tutorial section. Mm. So, I've just been, like, HUDless for, like, most of my playtime.
There's pills for that.
There's also elixirs, too. It's all the jokes.
Yeah.
There's that, what do you make the food that's bad? What is that called? It's got a really good
dubious
name.
Dubious
food.
Yeah, something like that. It's all pixelated.
Yeah.
It looks like you took
it's a good touch.
8-bit game sprite or something. Just, like,
God.
Mixed
so
it up
funny.
And put it on the screen.
Real good touch.
I've eaten a couple of those.
My least favorite thing about Zelda is not having a Switch or Zelda right now.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I will confess, you two are on here. The last time you being Marcus and Evan, we were talking about the Switch. Now, you know, I was very pessimistic.
You were a naysayer.
And I am still a little skeptic about the Switch as a whole.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no.
As a whole system.
I am a little too.
There's a lot to be seen and to be proven on Nintendo's side. However, seems like I was very wrong to be so hesitant about Zelda. They did it.
They did it.
I have to concur.
So that's a cool thing.
I will say I'm very happy with my Switch. I'm going to write something on it later on, so you'll be able to probably check it out next week. But basically, my thoughts boil down to, like, this is exactly what I thought it was going to be, which is a Nintendo game machine. If, like, you look at the games that I have on it right now, they're all exclusives, and, like, they're all really fun. And if this was only, like, already I can tell that the Switch is like turning into my primary console, and I take it with me everywhere. It's like become a part of my life. Like now my morning checklist consists of keys, phone, Switch.
Okay.
Like, it's like a part of my routine now. And like I'm really enjoying it, and I think it's exactly what I wanted it to be, and it's actually diminished my enjoyment of my other consoles.
And life.
And
no, it's heightened enjoyment of life.
Heightened life. Diminished my other enjoyment consoles. Of, like, other consoles, because there is something that's, like, truly special of, like, playing my game on my TV and then having to go somewhere and just taking it with me. Like that is so, it's, I can't express how good that feeling feels.
You mean like a Game Boy? Because that's kind of
could yeah, but like that? Like a Game Boy that could play Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
So you mean like a Wii U?
No.
like a Wii U that you can take anywhere, though.
Because you're like Wii U. Wii U?
It's a pain. I can't take Zelda anywhere I go.
You might be
Zelda
able
lives
to
in your heart,
take
though.
It
that's
to
true.
The bathroom, maybe.
I took your Wii U to the bathroom.
Yeah, I actually
I made my best Mario
phrasing?
Levels. No, I'll stand by that. I'll stand by that all day long.
Okay.
How long has it been since you played Overwatch? Just give me a number.
A few weeks?
Gross. I mean, me too. There's been a lot
okay,
of games.
Okay, you can't judge me for that if you haven't played it either.
So,
even
wrap
though
up.
We have no
can I say one more
yes.
thing about it, just really quick on the Switch? The thing that surprised me most about it is by friends who have never owned a Nintendo console or haven't owned a Nintendo console for like 20 years, never played a Zelda game, are like, I'm going to buy the Switch next month, or like, I'm really excited to buy a Switch. Like, people who I imagine have no reason to care about Nintendo fully intend to get the Switch, and that's
the Nintendo.
That's
pretty cool
to me.
Yeah,
that's
incredible.
They're back in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, best of luck to Nintendo.
Yeah.
They're doing something.
Yeah.
And we'll see what it is. So my week, I did some stuff. I went to visit my parents over the weekend where it was cooler in Ventura. It was like a breezy 75. It was great. Then we came back to 90 degrees on Monday and I wanted to die. But on Friday, Valerie's dad was in town for an event at the convention center in Anaheim. And so he took us out to dinner. And during that dinner, we were just talking about stuff. And the subject of video games came up. Actually, the subject of Marcus came up. And so we were talking about you.
What's that old coot doing now?
Who's that dreadlocked man seen around town with your husband, Valor?
It's like, why did you invite him to your wedding? I didn't really like him.
You've been going on dates?
It's true. You almost stole me from his daughter.
Yeah, I know.
We've had to have shared that before, right?
I feel like
yeah.
Valerie, have we said this story on the podcast yet? Okay.
At day of the wedding, we're at the venue. It's in a public space. We're waiting for Valerie to come in and stuff. Me and Marcus just hanging around. And there's people walking by, looking at us, and like, mumbling like, oh, look, I think that's the couple right there.
They thought that Devin and I were going to be
the most progressive of couples.
Yeah.
That's just cute. This black and brown sandwich of love.
I ship it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so we were talking about you, and then that went to Top Shelf Gaming, and then just games in general. And I just wanted to recap kind of what Steve had to say about games, because I thought it was really cool. And this dude is 72. He just turned 70. He's an older guy. But he was talking about... So he not only grew up without games, he became an adult without games.
That's...
Like, my dad... Oh, like,
yeah. Interesting.
That's a good point.
Yeah. My dad was born in the 60s. You know, so he didn't have games for a little bit, but games were a part of his adolescence. Mm-hmm. Steve had none of that. These came, you know, after he was... You know, the boat already passed for him. But Valerie's brother, very into games. And so he would, Steve would go into his room and they'd talk games and stuff. And
that's cool.
The way he described video games, and he's like, I don't play them myself. But I understand that they are a way for people to express themselves and find purpose and have control over their lives in a way they can't otherwise. And just hearing an older person communicate that,
yeah, that's one.
Is very uncommon. And the example he started with was actually Call of Duty, and I was dying inside.
Whoa!
I was dying inside. This will make sense. So he's a veteran. Uh-huh. So that's just, you know, he goes to that a lot. But he was saying, you know, you'll have soldiers go off to war and they'll come back, and but then they'll come back and they'll play shooters, they'll play Call of Duty. And, you know, he says a lot of people wonder, like, oh, why are they doing that? But he's like, I understand, because when you're playing Call of Duty, you're engaging that thing that you have, you know, you've committed yourself to, you've sacrificed for, given years of your life for, but here you have control in a way you did not have in real life on the battlefield, deployed, you know, overseas, really doing it. And so it's a way, you know, he's of people being able to, you know, have a sense of empowerment where they may have not felt that, where they can kind of face real life fears in a controlled, safe environment. And then you kind of expand on that just in general, with, you know, people who, you know, don't have the best jobs or don't feel like they're, you know, doing everything they want to do in life. They can play a video game and then feel that sense of control. And, you know, then hopefully, you know, you go out and, you know, better yourself in real life. But video games are a way to experience something that you can't right now. And I mean,
that's pretty impressive for somebody who's never touched a game.
That's so.
Yeah, horrible. And I want to just hit record on my phone and just be like, hey, can you just say that again? that's all I have to share for my week. That was a super cool thing to hear from someone so old. Sorry, Steve, but you're kind of an old dude. it was, and then, you know, you talking, you know, earlier today just about, you know, you and Link and just feelings of you know,
yeah,
of experience that with Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
And, you know, our main topic, I think, will come back around to those same ideas. It was a very good dinner. Had pizza, had some pie. But before Pie Day.
Every day should really be Pie Day. You don't just have to celebrate it once a year. You should really, like, every day should just be Pie Day.
But Marcus, then we'd all be fat.
Well,
fatter than we are already.
Not if you, whatever, like, it's all about calories. If, like, one slice of pie is however many percentage of, like, calories for that day, you just have less calories for other meals.
For mushrooms.
And just focus on the
pie. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, it's break all right, time.
Yes, let's take a quick break, and we'll
thanks
be back.
For ruining this episode.
With our main topic.
Just like you ruin everything.
Go take a pee. Pee was good. Marcus's was.
It was pretty average.
Give it a letter rank.
All right. Actually, A minus.
A minus.
It was actually really good.
I mean, that's okay.
Yeah.
C.
That's okay. That's pretty solid.
C.
Yeah. No double S though. All right. So this topic is one that is full of acronyms, and I'm hoping you guys can carry this one because I'm not gonna lie. I've got some to say, but there's a whole half of this question that I'm just like, I don't know. So, our question for this week is, what are the differences between a JRPG and a WRPG? If you don't know what those words mean, that's okay, because we got a word of the week!
What's that phrase? What's it mean? It's time for the word of the week!
So, I'm standing in for Valerie, who usually suggests the word of the week. I got into my car after work to come here, and there was this like giant white spot on my windshield. And also, given that there was this man at the pizza place who had a lot of white stains on the back of his shirt, my word of the week is going to be bird poop.
Bird poop. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah. So, I will chime in with bird poop whenever I think Valerie would probably have a question about what we're saying.
Okay, so JRPG.
Bird poop!
I can answer that one. So, JRPG, sometimes people use is Japanese RPG. Sometimes people use
bird poop. What's an RPG?
An RPG is a role playing game, son.
Valerie just gave me the finger from off screen. I don't know how we censor that, but
well, technically it was censored until you brought it up.
Wildly inappropriate.
She gave you a finger.
Yeah.
With a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Thumbs way up.
She's like, She was saying that it was a great...
Great impersonation. Yeah. Sounded just like
me. I thought you were laughing at me, but you weren't.
I was laughing.
So, RPG is role-playing game.
Or rocket-propelled grenade.
We're not talking about Japanese rocket-propelled grenades.
There are a broad variety of traits, but the biggest one is the games usually center on you taking on the persona, whether it's in a character of your own design or a character of the writer's design, and kind of going through a story through that character.
And building up their traits and abilities and characteristics, and like kind of allocating how they grow in terms of like combat or whatever
systems are in place in the game.
But yeah.
WRPG is Western role-playing game. And obviously the distinction for that are... Boop!
Is WRPG an actual acronym, or is it just Western RPG?
I don't know.
Both are kind of used interchangeably.
It's not as prevalent as JRPG. I mean, there's no reason why it can't be an acronym.
Yeah. So let's just make it one.
We're claiming it.
WRPG.
WRPG.
Let's take it back.
WRPG. We're already using...
War Pig.
We're already using... Oh, I like that.
War Pig.
Okay.
War Pig and Junior Pig.
Junior Pig.
I like that.
Roadhog and Little Roadie.
Oh, boy.
Roadhog and Junkrat?
Roadhog and Oscar.
Yes. Okay, I have a question for you guys.
Differences.
Because here's when Marcus a while back did a TSG Asks, where he asks all the staff at TSG a question and then we all answer. You asked a while back, what is an RPG? And my answer was really long and convoluted because it feels like a lot of games today are RPGs based on the rough definition that you just gave. So what differentiates an RPG from other... Why isn't Uncharted an RPG?
I can take it, yeah, sure.
That answer is pretty simple.
What was the last part of that?
Why isn't Uncharted an RPG? Because you're playing a character and you get new powers and abilities throughout the course of the game.
So I actually did a little bit of homework before I came in today.
Yeah.
And something that I think helped me kind of like focus in my definition was... When you think of game genres, instead of thinking of them like, oh, these are the traits this game has, so like a horror game should have zombies and spooky stuff and this, that, and the other, or an RPG should have stats and numbers, maybe thinking of game genres as what are people's expectations that they expect to get out of this? What are they looking for when they go into this game?
That makes sense.
And so when I look at an RPGs, whether they're War Pigs or Junior Pigs, usually what I consistently see is either it's kind of like a power fantasy element, so like with Mass Effect, I'm becoming Commander Shepard, I'm a big bad space marine, I'm making these decisions, I'm dealing with this threat the way I choose to, I'm picking which characters I like or who to romance, or whether it's a junior RPG like Persona, where you are put in the role of this character with these other characters and you're learning about them and you're investigating them while also trying to solve a mystery in a specific setting, in a specific place. And you could stretch it in certain ways, but I think when you go into Uncharted, at least when I think of Uncharted, I'm not thinking of, man, oh man, do I really want to go and become Nathan Drake? I think of like, I'm shooting things, or there's treasure,
or I'm watching
like
Nathan Drake's story unfold. It's not that you are being that character, it's that you're watching his story play out. I think a lot of games have RPG elements nowadays because they're just a really good way to add depth and extend the life of a game. Like Call of Duty's multiplayer had RPG elements for a while. The thing that defines RPG, that defines like RPG elements or kind of traits are whether players have choice in how they approach things. So like even in a game like, I mean, I've never played Persona, but even in like a more linear RPG, even if you're not choosing where to go or what decisions to make to affect the story, if you're still like choosing abilities or like upgrading them in some way, or in say like Zelda, you're not like upgrading stats necessarily, but you still like kind of choose how to go about the game. That's what defines it more for me. And I think that the ultimate differentiation between RPG and like Uncharted or an RPG, like why Call of Duty's multiplayer would not be called an RPG, is because while there are RPG elements, those elements aren't the focus.
Right. So you mentioned Zelda. Like, would you consider, let's say, Ocarina of Time an RPG? And would you consider Breath of the Wild an RPG? And what's, if any, are the differences between those two games?
I think Breath of the Wild is a much bigger, is much, much more of a straight RPG because it find a lot of different, like, weapons, and you have a lot more freedom in how you engage with the game world. Ocarina of Time and Zelda games in the past have always felt more to me like adventure games, and at this point we're, like, getting into, like, really, like, nitpicky definitions.
Mm-hmm.
So Ocarina of Time would be, like, an RPG adventure game, but leaning more on the adventure side. Breath of the Wild would be more, like, an RPG adventure game that leans heavier on the RPG side of things.
Okay.
I would say.
Yeah. So then, what's the difference between a JRPG, which is a junior pig, a piglet, if you will.
Oh, boy.
Or a war pig.
Well, right. Marcus, one's made in Japan. Solved it. End of topic, right?
So that's if it's things, a though, Japanese it's RPG tricky. Is made in Japan, so
that's the designation, but it, like region locking these, not region locking, but like determining based on region is like a weird way to define a genre. Because theoretically you can make a very...
What's region locking?
It's what the Switch doesn't do.
This is more relevant. That's relevant to the... conversation. Region locking, I used it improperly, refers to when a
creatively.
Game can't be played outside of a region. Mm-hmm. So, like, if a game is released in Japan and then it can't, and it only works on, like, consoles made in Japan, so it won't, if you bought, like, the game in Japan, you couldn't play it on a Switch. Like, if you bought a game in Japan, you probably wouldn't be able to play it on a console, whatever console it was for, in the U.S.
Okay.
Do you mind if I tag in for the War Pigs versus Junior Pigs
do it.
Definition.
Yeah.
Please do!
Says
Valerie.
Oh my god. So, with Western RPG, starting off, both of these genres kind of started from the same place. So they started from games like Wizardry or Ultima, which were these old school PC games. Western RPGs kind of went down the road of kind of giving the player more and more control. So, you are the hero. Whoever you're playing in the game is more of your avatar. It's not necessarily like a character with like a past and a backstory and likes and dislikes. And so you can often choose where to go. You often choose what to do. It was much more open world and sandboxy way earlier than I think a lot of JRPGs were. And then Junior Pigs, JRPGs, are a little bit more... Early on, they were much more story-based, so it's we're trying to tell a specific narrative, yeah. But as they kind of opened up, some of the consistent things I see now is you're usually playing as a character who has, like, a set backstory or has, like, a set personality. You have other characters, and there's a lot more emphasis on the group than on, like... you, the player, and what you're doing.
Party systems.
There's party systems.
A lot more common in Japanese RPGs.
I'm really glad that you brought that up, because some of my favorite RPGs are games... I mean, mostly Nintendo games. Mm-hmm. So games like Pokemon, mm-hmm. which is a very simplified RPG.
But it's very much a JRPG.
But it's the, like... a prime example of a junior pig where like you have a party,
maybe even a junior pig,
baby's first junior pig.
It's a runt.
Yeah. and it's basically like you have your team and like you build your team up however you want, and like you like create this team composition that can fight in like certain situations, mm-hmm. and whatever situation that you go into, mm-hmm. you're either advantaged or disadvantaged based on how you've chosen to build up your team or build up your own character.
Yeah, and you've also pointed out something I see in Junior Pigs a lot. I've seen it more in...
I love this so much.
You used it without even like hesitating.
I'm committed to the bit. So with the War Pigs or WRPGs, I've seen it more recently, but with JRPGs, I've seen a lot more customization and choice in terms of like certain gameplay mechanics. Yeah. So like with Pokemon, you're for most of them, you're on a set path. Yeah. There's only a limited amount of ways you can go about the game, but what Pokemon you have, what moves they have, you can change that up. But at the same time, at no point in that game can you go, I don't want to be a Pokemon trainer anymore. Yeah. I want to go be something else. Whereas something with Fallout, you can say, I don't want to go on this quest anymore. I want to go do something else. And that's kind of the difference. But that said, recently you've been getting a lot of mix and match and cross-pollinization between the two.
The genre barriers are a lot less defined now, because you have a game like Mass Effect, which is super heavy on party members.
So Mass Effect was... is a warpig, or
is a warpig? Well, just simply by where it was developed. Yeah. It's developed in the West. But if we're like not taking, if we're not specifically talking about region, just like in terms of style, it is also a warpig because it's about like your character and like the quest. Also, quest system is like like there's definitely a way to do quest systems in like Western RPGs, or a way that they tend to do them, and a way that junior pigs do them. The Mass Effect blurs the lines too. Also, a game like Final Fantasy XV has started to blur the lines. So, like, each type of game has started to assimilate different elements.
So, what
of
would
the
be.
Other. I think that the real difference comes on where's the focus, which one is emphasized more than the other.
What would be, like, the quintessential example of, like, a modern Western RPG?
Skyrim, yeah. I was going to go straight
to Skyrim.
So, Skyrim, we've talked about it on the show before. It's a game where you create your own character, you choose its class, whether you're an elf or a Viking, which are Nords type,
or a Khajiit,
or a Catman.
Those are cool.
A Khajiit.
You could be an elf. A couple different kinds of elves.
Dark elves.
You can be a reptile.
Normal elves.
Walking around.
Lizard person.
Yeah.
It's really about crafting your own character and then letting you loose and then letting you choose whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And there is a story, but it's not really essential. It's like, if you do it, cool, but it's like really about like creating your own life, creating your own stories. I feel like JRPGs have a story to tell.
Yeah, definitely.
And the expectation is that you explore that story. It's like I think the developers would be disappointed if like you did get lost in like trying to create your own narrative. Yeah. They would much prefer that you follow that path that they've laid out for you.
I think one thing you'd get a lot more in Warpigs is that, like, I never even finished the main quest line. Like, you hear people so much saying, like, I never even beat the main quest in Skyrim, Oblivion.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. And in Junior Pigs, like...
beating the main quest line is, like,
that's the point.
That's
the point, yeah.
So, from that logic, Evan and I worked on this editorial comparing Zelda...
brand integration!
...to... Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
Horizon Zero Dawn has a story to tell, and it very much wants you to get there. I mean, it was developed in the West, but based off of what of our definitions that we've laid out here, would you say it leans more toward a junior pig?
I think the way that its open world functions is super war pig, and the fact that the open world is more than anything the point of the game, I think, makes it more like a warpig. If we're talking like in terms of straight story, the way that its story is told is a lot more junior pig, but the systems feel more warpig to me.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing though, because just from what we were talking about, it does make it sound like Zelda is more the warpig than Horizon.
Which is interesting.
No. I was just gonna say, I just finished the main storyline in Horizon last night.
Oh, I'm jealous. I had to give the game up. I feel so bad.
So I agree with what you just said describing Horizon. Going based off the story and that being the focus, it pushing you along a specific story. That is 100% Horizon. Like, you don't really get to choose your Aloy. You'll get some dialogue changes, but they're incidental. They don't alter a storyline. But there's that big, I know, I beat the story, my progression reads 58%. So while there's a story to tell, the world is much bigger than that. So yeah, it's one of those things where when you first start talking, it's like, oh, well then Horizon's a JRPG, even though it, you know, it's made, but then you, it's that, all confusing.
That, using.
The way that I usually, the way that I kind of think about it is that Warpigs tend to give more, like, emphasize player freedom. And so, like, the way that an open world is, the way that open worlds are generally constructed nowadays, at least in the West, like, for Horizon and Skyrim, like, that way of constructing an overworld is super defining of a Western RPG. And a JRPG, I think they do have overworlds, but I think the presence of overworlds in them has started to become way more important now that the West is the really big market for video games. And that's why I think Final Fantasy XV leans so heavily on its open world. Maybe not necessarily for the good of the game, but for the good of giving Western players what I mean, want and what they expect from an RPG.
I'll openly admit, Final Fantasy XV is the first Final Fantasy game ever that I can recall where I've been like, oh, I could probably play that. You know, I have friends who love Final Fantasy, and I've tried. I tried with 10 once or twice. It just... I played the first Kingdom Hearts. That's probably the most JRPG. I'm assuming that's a JRPG.
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts is a JRPG.
It's indecipherable, so I'm assuming it's a JRPG.
It's got a little action game in there, but it's definitely JRPG.
And that's probably what that and the Disney stuff. But no, and when I think about the things that appeal to me about Final Fantasy XV, it's that seems like an open world I might want to explore. So it seems like I'm fairly heavily in the Western RPG camp. I'm with the War Pigs. But going back to where you started going, Marcus, that also leaves Breath of the Wild in a weird middle ground. So what would you guys say with that?
So Nintendo is the Japaniest company, the Japaniest game company ever. And it's also, but it made this game where the producer of the Zelda series has said, like, he was heavily influenced by Skyrim. And so you get this Zelda game, which is super Japanese, that was heavily influenced by this Western RPG that feels like a surprisingly 50-50 mixture of both. I would say it actually leans more into the Warpig side. But, like, thematically, it's like really Japanese.
I think it's Japanese aesthetics and sensibilities wrapped up in Western design principles. Yeah,
that sounds right from what I've gleaned and observed.
Like, all the characters, the way that they emote, the way that they interact are very...
Oh, Link!
Are very anime. And then... And, like, even one of the main villages is, like, completely Japanese-inspired. I think you find with a lot of War Pigs that, like, their worlds are like, very fantasy-based. So
they're very medieval.
A lot of
Europe.
Yeah. But, like, Breath of the Wild is steeped with Japanese culture. It's all around. A lot of their mythology, a lot of... there's some slight religious themes too, and that's also very Japanese. So it is this like hybrid of Piglet and Warpig that works too well, like too well to the point that I'm losing my life.
Gotta get that fixed.
I gotta get that fixed.
I'm slapping my veins.
Well, so for a final example, and you know, because it's coming up, where would you guys place? Or I mean, it seems like we agreed earlier that Mass Effect was pretty Western.
I think the thing that makes that defines Mass Effect not like heavily in that Western camp is like the choose your own adventure nature of it. The fact that Shepard is whoever you want it to be. That's essentially like the overworld of a story, I guess. Like having that element. So I guess your question was going to...
It was just going to be like, you know, what influence do you see Mass Effect taking from either side? Because, as you said earlier, it is very much your shepherd. You know, you get to choose which is your favorite store in the Citadel. Mm-hmm. But you're also then finding and crafting your team and your composition, and you can build, you know, combos with your team, which sounds very Japanese based on what we've talked about. But then there's also a lot of freedom, and Andromeda, which comes out in a couple weeks, we're down. Oh, gosh, it's coming so
down. I'm counting down to that game, too. I don't know what I'm going to do. I have to beat Zelda in a week, or it's going to be a problem.
But that game looks very, very action-heavy, mm-hmm. more so than even Mass Effect 3, which was criticized a lot for being so action-focused. Mm-hmm. So I guess... It seems like we're seeing a lot of mixing of the two more and more from both ends of the world.
Well, both the genres are taking from parts that they want from the other and working them into their systems.
Maybe a good final question is like, what are the pros of both that makes either so attractive or so appealing?
I think what I could see is for JRPGs, there is something very nice about having, like, a very tight, very focused story. Mm-hmm. Like, one of my favorite JRPGs recently was, like, Xenoblade Chronicles. And what I liked about that game is, like, I was just so... And more so than others, which is weird, I was so absorbed into what was happening. And even as I was able to predict some of the plot points, I was still like, I want to know what happens next. I want to know what happens to these characters. I like these characters. Like, there's a reason Shulk made it into Smash Bros. He's actually, like, in-game, a very interesting and not as meme-y of a character. And so I think that focus on character, the emphasis on kind of mechanical customization, where, like, I can make this character and they can have these skills and they can have these abilities and I can make it mine, even if I can't control where the story goes, is something that's really strong and something I'd like to see. With the Persona games in particular, the way they've handled, like, relationships and interactions with characters, that is something I've seen a lot of games try to emulate and I want to see go forward. And then for Western RPGs, I think it's just the idea of narrative choice, getting to pick where the story goes or who you align with or how certain events play out. That kind of focused on the individual where, like, I shape the story, it's about me, I'm the one who's kind of the agent in making decisions. And then just kind of that, when it's done right, the open world where you can just explore and go places and do stuff, or even just having the freedom to say, I want to do this mission instead of this mission because this mission sounds more interesting. So I could see those being kind of the big things that'll probably pop up in a lot of games down the line.
I think the reason why we're starting to see the hybridization of these genres now is because in the past, like, junior pigs were just better. Like, I mean, you had that era when Final Fantasy was making the best game of all time, forever. And then with Final Fantasy 13, all of a sudden, like, we had Oblivion, we had Mass Effect, and Western RPGs were suddenly not just good games in their own right, but some of the best games that had come out in recent memory. And people started to want more of that. They didn't just want what we were getting from the Japan style of development. And that's why I think we started... But at the same time, those games still had aspects taken from that Japanese side. Like, the party system in Mass Effect is definitely...
A very JRPG.
JRPG element. So they definitely had taken from those, like, legendary games and worked them into theirs. And so once Western RPGs finally proved themselves, we were able to get that, like, cross-pollination.
Crossbreed the pigs.
Yep.
To make a super pig.
Super...
Which is Zelda!
The ultimate swine.
That's a Ganon, though.
Exactly.
The ultimate evil swine.
The ultimate evil swine. The calamitous swine.
The calamitous swine, yeah.
Any final... I feel like I'm the novice here. I feel like I've... For a long, long time, I've been an action game guy. Games like Morrowind was my first taste of, like, oh, RPGs aren't just these indecipherable things. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I've been, you know, getting more and more into them in over the last past, I don't know, 10, 12 years. But I'm still taking it in. I feel like I haven't really dipped my toes in at all into JRPGs. Got to touch those junior pigs. Probably shouldn't have said that.
No.
Hey, buddy. Easy hey, now.
Do we have to censor that one?
I don't know. I'll think about it. But, you know, this has been educational for me. Marcus, do you have any final thoughts on any or all of it?
Not really, other than, like, there was a long time where, I played Morrowind when I was however old I was when that game first came out. It was on the original Xbox, mm-hmm. and I played it with my best friend / next door neighbor, and, like, we played it together, and, like, I wouldn't have considered that game an RPG.
Zing.
And it's only recently where I made a distinction between junior pigs and war pigs, because, like, people started calling them Western RPGs, and so I had to retrain myself to broaden my definition of what an RPG is. Like, you, Devin, and even you, Matt, mm-hmm. as, like, D&D background people, like, a Western RPG, like Dungeons and Dragons is a Western RPG, but just in board game form. Or, well, not really board game, but, you know, it's physical life, whatever.
It's called tabletop gaming?
Tabletop game form,
D&D whatever. Is definitely the template that, like, yeah. Western-style RPGs have been yeah. based on.
They've literally been ripping the system out and putting it yeah. in the game.
Yes. Dragon Age, literally.
Just yeah. took the system.
There, now it's a game.
And so, I think coming from that perspective, like, I appreciate both. I think there's a place for both. I think there's a fan base for both. And I think, you know, it's cool that both can exist and both can be appreciated. And, like, I like Fire Emblem. I like Pokemon, but I also love Skyrim. I love Horizon. And I especially love that sweet, sweet Anomaly Zelda, Breath of the Wild. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, if a game's good, a game's good.
Yeah, yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Well, you want to sing us out?
So this has been Trust Oracle Podcast, Top Shelf Gaming's number one podcast, and you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, or a bunch of other podcast services. Just Google us.
If you pick up a seashell and hold it up to your ear very faintly, you'll hear whispered,
Geek Stew!
Geek Stew. We haven't actually signed that contract yet.
So
we're working on it.
This is Devin, Evan, and Marcus, and you will never be hearing from Matt Charles from Geek Stew ever again, but this has been Trust Circle. Leave us an iTunes review, and we will see you next time.
War pig!